Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. So 15 months later, we are now here where the Middle East is celebrating somewhat. You may have seen visuals yesterday of the exchange of the hostages, Hamas handing over the hostages yesterday to the Red Cross, obviously then going to Israel, and then obviously the release of the prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, as part of the ceasefire agreement. All of this we were watching, and I think there is a sense of relief, but there is an uncomfortable relief. Director of Israel Committee Against House Demolitions, Professor Jeff Harper. We spoke last week. Prof, thank you so much for making time for us again. Good evening and welcome.
Good to be on again with you.
Sure. As I was saying just now, there is a sense of relief, there is a ceasefire, but do you think it will hold?
No, I think it will hold. Trump wants it. Trump is the boss. President Trump, we can now say. Mm-hmm. And Netanyahu will do anything Trump says. So I don't think Trump would tolerate. Trump's, like we talked about last week, Trump's big game is normalization with Saudi Arabia. It's more of a regional issue, and he wants the Nobel Peace Prize. And he's not going to let Netanyahu, mess that up with him. And that's why I think the whole thing will go through. I think all three stages will succeed. Because Trump said it should, and Netanyahu will do whatever Trump says.
Obviously, Netanyahu internally is now facing some criticism. Others saying, he's now reneging on what the plan was. It was supposed to be to completely diminish Hamas. That didn't happen. So just talk to me about his government. It's not collapsing, but it could be close.
Well, I don't think so. Ben-Gvir sort of left, but Netanyahu appointed interim ministers so that he could always come back. Smotrich is talking about leaving if the war isn't renewed after the first stage, which it won't be, I don't think. But there's a lot of pressure on them from within the right in Israel not to resign. People are saying, what? You right-wing people are going to bring down a right-wing government? I don't think they can really go and do. And besides, which would be counterproductive for them. Because they're getting everything they want. Smotrich in particular, who's like the governor of the West Bank, they're giving him settlements. He's completely renewing all the regulations so the settlements can be built very quickly. They're already clearing the land, in anticipation of the Abraham Accords coming back and so on. So he wouldn't want to give up the civil administration, the military government of the West Bank. And his whole dream of annexing the West Bank and a greater Israel, over some minor issue in the ceasefire agreement. So I just don't think they match up too well. I think he has a bigger agenda. I think Netanyahu has a bigger agenda. I think Trump has a bigger agenda. And, of course, those who pay the price and all of those are the Palestinians.
And let's talk about governance in Palestine going forward. Where does this leave Hamas? And of course, the Palestinian Authority. And of course, we know nobody really has any power there. But let's talk about what that looks like going forward. That there is a ceasefire now. Who and how will Palestine be governed?
By Palestine, what you mean, Gaza?
Gaza.
Palestine is a whole other issue. I mean, that's really the question. And in a way, I think the fact that there's no answer, the fact that in all the negotiations over all these months over a ceasefire, no one ever put thought into what's happening the day afterwards, who's going to police, who's going to govern, who's going to administer the humanitarian aid? Who's going to rebuild Gaza? The estimates are it would cost $80 billion to rebuild Gaza. Who's gonna do that? I think the fact that all these questions have just been put aside, not dealt with, and so on, really reveals how much the Palestinians don't matter in all of this. All that matters for Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States, is industrial quiet. That Hamas has been quieted. They're not a disruptive force anymore. That they can all go on to the normalization thing. You know, and for Israel, it really doesn't care about Gaza. So as long as, there's no military challenge to Israel coming from Gaza, he really doesn't care if it's rebuilt, if the people continue to live in sewage, if nobody governs it, if gangs govern it. What happens to Palestinians is not an issue to any of these parties. And I think the very fact that these questions have been really left open-ended, I think kind of indicates that. So I suppose, it's hard to know. Maybe the Arab states will send in some kind of a peacekeeping force. There's all this talk about the Palestinian Authority coming in and reasserting its authority, I think, is ridiculous. I don't think the PA could last one day. And so it really is an open question. But, the tragedy of it is, who cares? The well-being of the Palestinians is simply not a consideration in all of this.
You're making the point that Gaza and Palestine, there's a distinction there, and you're saying, well, with Palestine, it's a whole new conversation. Maybe expand on that a bit.
Well, the tragedy of the Palestinians, I guess, has always been their leadership, and. Once Arafat accepted the Oslo agreements and really legitimized the legitimacy of Israel, legitimized Israeli colonization and apartheid, talked about a two-state solution in which Palestinians get 22%, and then, of course, never really opposed the settlements being built. And then we move into Abu Mazen, who's become an outright collaborator with Israel. The Palestinians have really been sold down the river. They have a liberation organization, so-called, that's been captured by the colonists. I mean, imagine a situation where Mandela and the ANC are in fact subcontractors to de Klerk and the apartheid government. That's exactly the situation we have. And so the Palestinians resist, and you have to look at Gaza as a resistance. They suffer. They do everything they can for their cause, the BDS campaign, international mobilization. And they're always, always sold out by their own leadership. Mm. And, I'm involved in what's called the One Democratic State Campaign, which is a Palestinian-led group that's, we're talking about one democratic state replacing Israel and the occupation as the only way out. But our members, to be honest with you, the Palestinian members are afraid to step out and become a political movement. Almost all Palestinians see one state as the way out of all of this, and certainly not two states and not apartheid. But there is such repression and violence on them, not only on the part of Israel, but on the part of their own Palestinian Authority. That a new alternative grassroots leadership is unable to emerge. And this is the great tragedy of the Palestinians. We're all behind them. The whole world has mobilized around them. But they themselves cannot step out and take control of their own political movement because of their own collaborators that Israel has captured and permanently put in control of the Palestinian liberation movement. It's a tragedy.
So I mean, when you say it that way, it kind of leaves you feeling like there really isn't much more that they can get apart from, I suppose, somebody coming back to build in Palestine and they accepting whatever outcome, whether we get back to Israel, managing and governing Palestine, whoever comes in, but it's not going to be something that they're in charge of. They're not going to be organizing themselves in such a way that they are liberated in a sense.
No, of course not. And we have to pay attention to the language. Biden and Trump talk about, and Netanyahu talk about normalization. Mm. We're normalizing with Saudi Arabia, with the Sunni Arab world. Normalization is the end. That's the problem. You know, liberation and resistance and fighting, and you have a political program, you're in a struggle. That's what we've always talked about, the Palestinian struggle for their national rights. Normalization is when the struggle is defeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normalization is normalization. Mm-hmm. The issue disappears. There's a closure.
Mm-hmm.
And once there's an agreement with Trump and, this Abraham Accords is completed and Israel's apartheid is recognized and we all normalize and there's peace in the Middle East, where the Palestinians, of course, are then locked permanently into an apartheid regime on maybe 10% of their historic homeland. Where are they going to go from there? Once you normalize, the Palestinians say, well, wait a minute, our issue isn't resolved yet.
Mm.
You know, the answer is going to be sorry, but, you know, we've all resolved it. The United States, Europe, the international community, the Arab world, Israel, you know, so too bad. And it really disempowers the Palestinians. I really think this normalization process that Trump is going to go back to tomorrow is the greatest threat to the Palestinians since the Nakba.
Mm.
But there is not any organization around it because, there's no leadership, to tell you the truth.
And just to point to what South Africa was trying to do at the ICJ, I suspect whatever the outcome, it really will not change, the destiny of Palestinians.
No. No, there's no, there's no enforcement powers to international law or human rights or anything else. You know, so the ICJ can issue any kind of judgment they want.
Mm.
Israel knows there'll never be sanctions because the way you enforce rulings of the ICJ is through the Security Council.
Mm.
So you have a situation in which a political body can veto a judicial decision. So it just neutralizes that whole international, legal system. It's important to do symbolically, of course, but in terms of actual sanctions on Israel or in any way really holding Israel back or harming Israel or promoting the Palestinian cause, it's really not much more than symbolic in my view.
We then are speaking politically at a political executive level of this normalization. But I'm just curious about what has to happen on the ground to change attitudes, to try and find a way in which, even as we accept the outcome of this normalization, that somehow Israeli citizens as well as Palestinian citizens are able to find a sense of harmony. And I know I'm pushing it a little bit here, but what I'm saying is this is not sustainable. At the center of all of this is what feels like just hatred and resentment. And I just wonder whether at the ground level, what can be done to find a way to not even like each other, but maybe start appreciating each other's circumstances.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem. I think Palestinians recognize there are Israelis here. They don't accept and legitimize the settler colonial movement and the occupation and the apartheid and the violence towards them and so on. But, they're willing to live with Israelis. From the Israeli side, it's not hatred. And that's not the problem. The problem is we just don't care about Palestinians, Arabs, we call them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not of an interest to us. And so really the term that we should be talking about is pacification.
Mm.
Because that's really the end for Israel. You pacify the Palestinians. In other words, what was done in Gaza and what's being done in the northern West Bank. Militarily, you simply end their ability to resist. That's what pacification is. I'm no longer able to resist, and therefore I simply have to accept the reality, and the reality, again, is going to be Israeli apartheid in a normalized Middle East under U.S. Domination. So in a way, you know, the way Israelis look at Palestinians and the other way around really isn't the problem. Palestinians are willing to live with Israelis. Israelis simply believe that we won. We have all of the land of Israel, all of historic Palestine from the river to the sea. We have international support. We have our military strength. Palestinians are pacified. We just don't care about them. They're invisible to us. And therefore, really the issue is a political issue of how do we fight against normalization? And how do we push, I think, begin to push forward the idea of one democratic state and mobilize internationally? That's the issue more than Israelis will never get it. Settler colonists never, ever get it because it's too threatening for them to open that whole thing about who are we and what have we done and where are we going. And so as long as they're winning, you know, and now we all, you know, worked on the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa and, you know, succeeded in getting the apartheid regime to collapse. That, I think, is what has to be done here. But it wasn't up to the whites in South Africa to collapse the government. That had to be done, you know, politically from the outside with BDS and all kinds, you know, whatever, the military resistance even, you know, economic reasons why, all the different reasons. And somehow we have to find a formula to replicate what you did in South Africa.
So where does this leave Hamas?
Hamas is still a political movement. You know, Hamas's political program, that of the Muslim Brotherhood of is, you know, being an Islamic movement, never spoke to Palestinians. Palestinians are, for the most part, a fairly secularized, you know, Arab population. But of course, Hamas has you know, admiration because it's the only resistance force. Again, the Fatah, that used to be the Revolutionary Party of Arafat, the PLO, have all become collaborations with Israel. So all you have left is Hamas. But I think Hamas has been neutralized militarily. I don't think its resistance in that sense can be done. In other words, I think the phase of armed struggle is gone. I think that's finished. I think that's maybe the lesson of Gaza and the pacification of the West Bank as well. And that's where we have to begin to think, and Palestinians have to begin to think of another strategy of political engagement, mobilizing the international community in order to get a political program adopted. The problem is Hamas or Fatah, they have no political program. So it's kind of resistance with no political program to mobilize people around. And I think what we have to do is to present a political program, mobilize around that, and then find ways to neutralize Israel. I think Israel's very vulnerable diplomatically, economically. It's becoming a pariah state. So it isn't like you need armed struggle. I think there are effective alternatives to armed struggle, but we have to sit down and strategize, and that becomes super difficult because the Palestinians are so scattered, because of the Israeli repression, the Palestinian Authority repression on them. So it really is a struggle even to reignite the struggle for Palestinian liberation.
Director of Israel Committee Against the House Demolitions, Professor Jeff Harper, thank you very much for your time coming to us live from Israel.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.